Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again. We are now in week 3 of our Practicing Forgiveness series. And we're going to be looking at what do we need to do when we have hurt someone? How do we ask for forgiveness? How do we seek forgiveness? Now, as we move through this series on forgiveness, we're moving through a personal spiritual growth. Okay. Forgiveness is directly linked to your personal spiritual growth. So what does that mean? Firstly, it's going to take time. Secondly, it's going to be difficult. So those two things are a given every time we talk about spiritual growth, because you are fighting against yourself, trying to get to a new way, a better way, the Lord's way, a new life that the Lord has to offer. So where have we come from? In week 1, we asked the question, why forgive? Why do we need to forgive? And the analogy that people liked was that analogy about eating rat eggs, hoping that the rat will die. Okay? Unforgiveness is poisonous to our souls. Unforgiveness kills our spiritual life, because unforgiveness carries within it anger and frustration and pain and all those things that look at another person and judge them and wish them not well, but wish them harm. And that goes directly against the Lord's commandments of loving another person. So we can see right from the beginning that this is part of a spiritual growth that the Lord is calling each one of us to fight against the tendency that we have to think negatively about another person and wish them harm, and to change that to a new life of loving another person, trying to look for the good. And so the second week was about looking to that good. How do we forgive another person? And the key to it is to think of the whole person. We tend to judge a person by one action or one set of circumstances where we were hurt by them. And then we judge the whole person and say, well, because of that, they are, and we put a name to that, evil. They are selfish. They are nasty. They are inconsiderate. We put a label to the whole person because of one incident with them. So to forgive another person is to look past that incident to who the person is, looking deeper to the good of that person, wanting the best for that person. And if we can look past the hurt and the pain and the anger, we look to understand that person. Well, where is that person in their life? What are they going through? We struggle through life. They struggle through life. Where is that their pain and their frustration coming from that's causing me pain? And so to forgive another is to have compassion on the person deeper than just their action that they have. And so today we move on to the next step. What do we do if we were the ones who caused the pain? What if we were the ones who caused the harm in a relationship with someone? The first thing we're going to look at is, well, how do you know when you've caused harm? How do you know when you've hurt someone? The easiest way is they tell you. That hurt, right? If someone tells you in the moment that you have hurt them, it's much easier in that moment to then start a conversation about the frustration or the hurt or the pain, and then work to mend it. But what if we don't know that we've hurt someone? How do we know when things aren't right in a relationship because we've hurt someone? Well, there's two ways people react when they've been hurt. When someone is hurt, they want to protect themselves, and either they fight back or they flee, right? The flight or fight response. When we're in pain, when we fear being hurt again, either we fight back, and we might have relationships that there's always tension, there's always aggression, there's always an argument about things, right? There is an underlying pain or frustration that is in that relationship that's causing both of you to have this negative reaction to each other. The other side of it is people just choosing to move away. They don't want to be hurt again, and so there's silence. They drift away. You don't hear from them anymore or as regularly as you used to. And those can be signs, whether you are fighting with someone or whether that relationship has just seemed to dissolve and dissipate, that perhaps there is something that we need to look into in those relationships. Perhaps there is hurt and pain that lies in that relationship, in you and in that other person. So once we think about our relationships, once we reflect on them and say, well, why are we fighting all the time? Or what happened to this relationship that we're now separated and distant? Once we realize, well, perhaps I have caused the other person pain, then it's up to us how we react to that. How are we going to react when someone says or when we realize we have caused pain? One way is the selfish way. We deny it. No, that wasn't me. I didn't do that. It's not my fault. And out of that denial comes all sorts of excuses why it's not my fault that that person is in pain. So that's the one way, the selfish way. We protect ourselves. We're not going to admit it. We deny any part of it. And we just want that situation to disappear. Right? We pretend like it didn't happen. And if we sort of have to force ourselves, maybe we'll say, I'm sorry. But I'm sorry, when it only comes from the lips and doesn't come from the heart, is not really seeking forgiveness from another person. To seek forgiveness, it's got to come from the heart. We've got to feel that sorrow. We've got to feel that pain. We've got to react differently to their pain. Rather than dismissing it, we've got to own it. And this is much more difficult. This is much more difficult because this is spiritual growth. To know that you have hurt someone, either intentionally or unintentionally, to know that you've hurt someone and then to own it is personal spiritual growth. And so it is difficult, right? We find it very difficult to own up to the hurt that we've caused. Right? Our tendency is to be selfish and to deny it and push it away and pretend it didn't happen. But the Lord's calling us to a new life. He's calling us to a new way. And so the Lord calls us to the difficult task of owning up to that pain that we have caused. So when we seek forgiveness from someone, we're not asking them to forget. We're not asking them to say that it didn't happen. We're not asking them to take away the pain. We are accepting our role in this. Right? There is something within me that has caused this pain in the other person. So forgiveness, or asking for forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, being forgiven, requires us to face up to it, to acknowledge that we have caused that pain, to know that there are going to be consequences, to go to the Lord and find out where I can make changes. Where, what does the Lord's word teach to help me do things differently? And then to go and do something different about it, to make the change, to begin a new life. And if we think about those steps of acknowledging what we have done, acknowledging what we've done, of going to the Lord, of asking for His help, and then trying to do something different, we're talking about repentance. So if we truly think about being forgiven by someone else, we realize that there is a need for a change within us. It's no use just saying, "I'm sorry," from the lips if it doesn't come from the heart. We can't just say, "I'm sorry," if it doesn't come from the heart. And so being forgiven requires us to make a change in our life. Being forgiven requires spiritual growth in our lives. The Lord tells us in the scriptures, we read, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Repent for the forgiveness of sin. Repent so that your sins can be forgiven. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and this is, if we want to know what the Bible teaches, the Lord sums it up for us in this verse, the end of Luke. He says, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." So the Lord is saying, the whole of the Bible is talking about me. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. And he told them, "This is what is written. This is what is written. This is what all the stories in the Bible are about. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations." So what is the Christian faith about? It's not just about faith. It's not about a word that you speak and say, "I have faith." The Christian faith is about repentance for the forgiveness of sin. That is the call. That is the walk that the Lord teaches over and over and over. Repentance for the forgiveness of sin. All right. We all make mistakes. We all say and do things that we can look back and say, well, that caused some hurt, that caused some pain. And the Lord calls each one of us to repentance. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church. You can follow along in your pew card. Another popular misconception is that when sins have been forgiven, they are also set aside or they are taken away. So that's a misconception. When the Lord forgives us, the sins, our sins are somehow removed from us. But when the sequence is reversed, though, it is true. When sins have been set aside, we are forgiven. All right? So it's a misunderstanding of Scripture to think that when sins have been forgiven, they are set aside. Okay? So we tend to think that if I am forgiven, then the sins are taken away. But the Lord actually puts it the other way around. If your sins are set aside, you are forgiven. Okay, so which comes first? The Lord is asking us to look at the sins that we have. Repentance must precede forgiveness. Repentance must precede forgiveness. And apart from repentance, there is no forgiveness. That is why the Lord told his disciples to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and why John preached the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Okay. When we go and ask the Lord for forgiveness, the Lord forgives us. Because what does it mean to forgive? It means letting go of hurtful and hurtful thoughts and anger and frustration. The Lord can't feel that. The Lord is this love, this powerful, almighty love that cannot but love you. It cannot be. He cannot be angry with you. He cannot be frustrated with you. So the Lord forgives. He doesn't hold anything of anger and frustration and hurt and pain against you, because he loves you. But he can't remove the sins from your life. That requires something that comes from within us. It requires the Lord's life working in us and through us. We see this in the parable that the Lord tells. We read in Luke. You can follow along on your pew card. Then Jesus said, "A certain man has two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So give me my inheritance.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession on wasteful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. But when he had spent, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, when he realized, when there was a light bulb moment, when there was an awakening, when the light of heaven flowed into him, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring out the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son. He was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." So in this parable, we see the true path of forgiveness. The son wanted his father's forgiveness. But it had to start with him coming to himself, realizing what he had done, waking up to the state of life that he was in. And that is the call that the Lord gives to each one of us. We need to wake up to the pain that we cause. We cause pain. We get angry and frustrated. We hurt other people with our words and with our actions. The Lord calls us to realize where we are. The state that we are in, we are all sinners. And that's what the son had to realize. I have sinned. That's the first step of repentance. I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against His word. That is the beginning of the repentance process. But it requires us to make a change in our life, to do things differently. Right? We can't expect to go back to a relationship where we have experienced or we have hurt other people and expect to interact with them in the same way and make the same mistakes again. That relationship will never heal. We got to change our way. We got to admit to the fault that we are in and to do things differently in that relationship. Beginning a new life. Rolling away the stone of our hearts and beginning something new. That's what the Lord is asking us for. That is what our personal spiritual growth involves. Leaving behind, the young son was in a faraway country, leaving behind the old country, leaving behind our old habits and going back to the Father, going back to the Lord, going back to what a heavenly life should be. That's the change that the Lord is asking for each one of us. Repentance, present on the lips, but not in one's life, is not repentance. Reading from that second verse from the teachings for the new church. Lip repentance does not cause sins to be forgiven. Only repentance in life can lead to that. Being mercy itself, the Lord is constantly forgiving a person's sins, but sins cling to a person. Or another way of putting it, people cling to their sins. Right? We hold on to our sins. We hold on to our bad habits. We hold on to the hurt and the pain. Okay? Sins cling to a person no matter how much he supposes them to have been forgiven. Nor are they removed from him except through a life of keeping with the commandments. Right? So the Lord says, don't come to me and say, Lord, Lord. Okay? It's not about the lips. It's about the fruit of your life. Are you changing your ways? To the extent that his life is in keeping with the commandments, his sins are removed. To the extent that our life is in keeping with the commandments, our sins are removed. And to the extent that our sins are removed, we have been forgiven. Okay. For a person is withheld from evil by the Lord and maintained in good. For he can be withheld from evil in the next life to the extent that during his lifetime he has resisted evil. And he can be maintained in good then, to the extent that during his lifetime he was doing good out of an affection or a love for it. From all this, one may see what the forgiveness of sin is and how it arises. Anyone who supposes that there is any other way in which sins are forgiven is much mistaken. So the Lord forgives us because he is love. He cannot be angry with us. So the Lord forgives us. But we cling on to those sins. We hold on to those negative things. We hold on to our pride and onto our selfishness. And we need to learn to let go of that. That faraway country, if we think about being far away from the Lord, a selfish state of life. We've got to leave that behind. And we've got to come to people, come to those in our lives, and we've got to apologize. We've got to say sorry, but a sorry that comes from our heart and that also is part of our life, doing things differently. The story of the prodigal son continues after what we've read. And we hear about the older brother who is angry and who doesn't accept the apology. When we apologize in life, others may not be there yet. If we have realized that we have done wrong, we can apologize and should apologize with a change in our life and the way we deal with that person. The other person who has been hurt is also going through a process of forgiveness. And every person and every process runs at a different time. So we might be ready to ask for forgiveness and to change our lives when another person is still dealing with that pain and that hurt and may not be ready to give forgiveness or to accept that apology. So we mustn't get angry at the person because we said we're sorry and they didn't accept it. They are working with the Lord on their spiritual growth. And we are working with the Lord on our spiritual growth. And we must do what is right, not expecting an apology. We don't apologize because we want the apology. We apologize because that's what our heart is saying. Whether we receive that apology or not is inconsequential. It's that it flows from our heart, realizing that we have done harm and wanting to do better, wanting to do different. And that is how we ask for forgiveness. And so forgiveness and repentance go together. Forgiveness and repentance. We can't ask for forgiveness unless we've changed our life, changed the way we think, change the way we feel about that person. So we first need to repent, and then forgiveness follows. First repent, and forgiveness follows. And this is a daily practice. This is a daily practice that we should be doing. Looking at our day and saying, well, where did I go wrong? Where have I hurt other people in my life? What do I need to change? Who do I need to apologize to? Where can I do better? And so this is spiritual growth at its best. This is spiritual growth at its most difficult. Right? Dealing with relationships with other people. And so the Lord calls each one of us every day to practice repentance and to practice forgiveness. Forgiving others, and also asking for forgiveness. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, from you flow all power, from you flows all love. And Lord, we ask that we take this inheritance that you have given to us, that we are able to receive your power, receive your life, receive your love, receive your wisdom. And may we use it in the right ways. May we not waste what you have given us and instead use that life, that love, that understanding, that power to make real change in our life, that we might admit to where we have gone wrong, to see the pain that we have caused, and to know that we have sinned against you, sinned against our neighbor. Lord, we ask that you give us the power and the strength and the courage to make a better choice, to see and to own up to that hurt, that by walking with you and drawing from you your life, we might be able to approach and live a heavenly life with you. Lord, we ask that as we go out into this week, that you will keep this topic of forgiveness on our minds, that every morning we might wake up with a sense that we can do better, that you call us and you strengthen us to live that life of heaven. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.